Bless you. Thank you for being here. Turn with me, please, the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, and we have reached the part where Jesus said to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, I preached a message, if you remember, when Jordan Bridge was here back in the summer, and I preached a message on temptation. And we used that message as in the area of being tempted to sin. The message this morning is going to use many of the same scriptures, but we're going to look at it from a different standpoint. Lead us not into temptation does really mean lead us not into testing, or preserve us in testing. And so we're going to look at temptation from a standpoint of being tested or tried. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation or trial or test, let's say, and it's correct to use those words, taken you. Now look at that, taken you. Taken you. Something reaches out and grabs you. You can't help it. There is no trial, no test, no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. But, repeat those next three words with me, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When Jesus prayed, "Lead us not into temptation," he was speaking of temptation to sin, but he was also speaking of preserve us during our trials. Let's pray. Father, this morning we're grateful for the day. We're grateful for this beautiful Lord's Day where we've gathered in your house. I pray you'd feed us today from the Word of God. May we open our hearts and our minds. May we just settle in here and say, "God, would you feed us from the Word?" Thank you for each home. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for those who come out to honor you on this Lord's Day. I pray that you help the Christian this morning, strengthen us to live better lives, that we might live holier and more godly and closer to you in this upcoming year. And then for those this morning in this building who don't know you as their Savior, who are lost, never accepted Christ, Lord, I pray somehow during the message you'd speak to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The most frequent temptation we find in the Bible is in the Old Testament. The Bible uses the word tempt a lot. And the connotation in the Old Testament is that man is tempting God. And I'm going to say something. God cannot be tempted, the Bible says. God cannot be tempted with sin, but man, you hear me this morning, man tries and tests God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It would be good advice for all of us never to test or to tempt God. With our actions, with our thoughts, some people will try to live their lives just like a little child and try to get away with just as much as they possibly can. I'm going to advise you against that, because Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Anytime we're disobedient to the Word, we're disobedient to what He wants in our lives, we are tempting or testing God. I do not want to test God. I don't want to test God like you test the waters of Gross's Creek or test the waters of the bathtub. Don't do that. Don't be guilty of doing that. So in the Old Testament, man tested God to see just how much he could get away with. One man told his pastor, he said, "Pastor, I can resist anything except temptation." The Bible says here, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And so when Jesus prays, "Lead us not into temptation," he is praying, "Preserve us during our trials." And so you might as well mark it down for him this morning. You will be tested. God will test you. God will allow you to be tried. He will put your heart to the test. He will put your faith to the test. He will try you. And Job said, when he's tried me, I want to come forth as gold. Job said, when the fire is put to me, the test of God, let it just remove the dross and bring me forth as a finer golden vessel. Remember that temptation, when we look at a temptation to sin, that a temptation to sin is a twist on God-given desire. God gave you a desire to eat, but the devil wants to twist that and cause you to have an inordinate desire to eat. You have a desire for a sexual relationship with a mate. The devil wants to twist that and cause you to have an inordinate desire toward the opposite sex. You have a desire, a God-given desire, to make your life and your family financially stable. But the devil can twist that God-given desire and cause you and I to be greedy. Listen, you have a desire, a God-given desire, to want to have friends and be popular. But the devil twists that desire and he says, why don't you just go along to get along? I'm afraid, friend, that too many Christians today and too many churches today are going along to get along. And I don't want to go in that direction. I want to stay with the book. So Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. And the Bible says here, when we're tested, when we're tried, when we face those things, that God will not put us in a fire greater than we can stand. Sometimes it gets mighty hot. Sometimes you look up and you say, Lord, I don't know if I can take much more. But God said He wouldn't test you above that which you were able, but He would, with the temptation or with the trial, with the test, He would make an opportunity for you to escape. Always remember, when you're in the valley, when you're in the test, when the trial has come upon you and it feels like a great burden, always look for the window of opportunity. For God said there would be one place in your path. Thank God for it. And so the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee. Now think about that. We think if we just resist the devil, he'll still be there. And he'll be there. And the Bible says if you resist him, and you resist him with the Word of God, the Bible says he'll flee. That means he'll run. He won't just hang around. He will flee. When the time of testing is over, the time of trial is over, he will flee. And so you must resist the devil with the Word of God. The Word of God, as I said at the funeral the other night, is our only window into the spiritual world. If you enter into the spiritual world any other way, oh yeah, you can enter into the spiritual world. You get you a bottle and turn it up. That's why old people called it spirits. You can enter into the spiritual world. You can expose your vein and inject some things in there. Enter into the spiritual world. But hey, that's the spiritual world of the devil. The Bible gives us the Word of God, and it is our only window into the spiritual world, and we're to use this Word of God in the spiritual world to not only resist temptation, but be preserved when we are tried. God gives us the Word of God to show us our faults and our failures, but for those of us who are saved, He gives of us on the inside the Spirit of God to preserve us through those times of temptation. That's why religion this morning, when you look at the religious world, especially those who claim to be Christians, and I'll say this, especially the Catholic Church, which is nothing but a religion, and when you look at the religious world, they have failed. Religion applied to man will fail. But salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who places His Spirit on the inside of us, will succeed. Not only will it succeed to take us to heaven one day, but it'll succeed while our feet are on earth if we'll surrender to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God.
Are you failing to walk
with the Spirit of God?
Are you failing in the flesh? Then the Bible says, listen carefully, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Did you get that? The law, a preacher, you say the law is religion. The law is a set of rules that we have to obey. Yes, it is. But that law can be fulfilled in us, not because we place ourselves under disciplinary rules, but because we walk in the Spirit. Listen carefully to what the Word says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the key. If you come to church and you try to discipline yourself and you turn over a new leaf and make a New Year's resolution and you say, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to be a good boy and I'm going to try to do what the Bible says, you're going to fail. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, you're going to fail like the billion dike plans that are going out this morning. You're going to fail. But if you will get on your knees and allow the Spirit of God to come inside of you and cleanse your heart and cleanse your sin and Jesus Christ comes on the inside of you, you'll live out the spiritual life in Christ. That's the secret. And by the way, if you ever surrender to Jesus Christ completely and totally, you'll find that in June or July this year, He'll still be real. When 2014 shows up, and it is the Lord allows, and 2015 begins, the Word of God would still be fresh in your heart. The Bible says in Galatians 5:25 that if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. I think of what Brother May said one time. He said he's preaching at a church way back up in West Virginia, and he said a little lady run up to him, a little grandma, and he had a dip of snuff in. And she said, Peter, I'm full of the Spirit. He said, yes, ma'am, I can see it running out of the corners of your mouth. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Listen, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God, don't forget, will test you. I don't give pop quizzes at the end of the sermon, but God will give you a pop quiz before this week is up. Every last one of you. Before this week is up. Sometimes, listen. To be tested or tempted is not always to do something sexually lewd, to lie, cheat, steal. To be tested might be tested to see if you'll get angry. To be tested may see if you'll say, I'm going to quit. And God would test us to see if we'll quit. And you know what? Let me say this. If you've been tested and you've quit and you look back and you say, you know, that really wasn't the right choice. You know what the best thing to do? Start right back up. I'm going to tell you something. God is the God of the second chance. First thing we're going to have to realize when we're tested is we're going to have to realize that we are flesh. We are flesh. God has tested man in 7 dispensations of time. Just like man dispenses drugs, the pharmacist, God dispenses time. And God dispenses 7 dispensations. The first dispensation was the dispensation of innocence back yonder in the Garden of Eden, where man was created, placed in a perfect atmosphere, and what did he do? He failed. His flesh. Then man walked by his conscience. The second dispensation,
God allowed man to walk by his conscience. And guess what? The conscience of man wasn't good enough. And he failed. Then God allowed human government. And so man creates human government. And man fails under human government. And then God said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you live under the age of promise. And I'm going to give you a promise of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to come and take your sin away. Man failed under promise. And God said, I'm going to give you the law, then I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments and the 614 aspects of the Levitical law. And man walked under the law and he failed. And then Jesus Christ came, shed his blood on the cross, brings about the dispensation of grace, where we're cleansed from all of our sins. The Word of God dwells in us, the Spirit of God dwells in us, and guess what? We're still failing. And then guess what's going to happen? The last dispensation is going to come along, the seventh dispensation, which is the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign. Satan's going to be removed. He's going to be put bound. The Bible says he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And for 1,000 years, there's going to be peace. And the lamb's going to lay down, the lamb's going to lay down with the lion and the ox. You know, and the child's going to play on the top of Christ's den. And Satan's going to be loosed after that 1,000 years. And guess what's going to happen? Man's going to go kapooey again. And so the Bible is a book that shows us our failures and it shows us our flesh. But I got news for us. We can live a victorious life over the flesh. We can come forth as gold when we are tried if we'll be faithful to the Word of God. Many people this morning sitting in this auditorium, including the man you're listening to, are facing a trial right now. And it's a trial of faith. It's a trial of the Spirit of God. It's a test to see where your heart's going to stand. Stay with the Word of God. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, I got to realize I'm flesh. I got to realize that I'll fail. Listen to this. Let me say this to you who are wed this morning. The Bible talks a lot about the marriage relationship in 1 Corinthians 7, and it says, "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence." The word incontinency means a lack of self-control. And God tells us who are married that we're to take care of our mate. We're to provide them with the fulfillment that they need, because if we don't, the devil will get in that thing and there comes about a lack of self-control and then the marriage is broken up. And so watch out that your marriage will be tested. Listen, if you've been married any length of time, you know that. But if you've been married a short time, I'm going to tell you something. Your marriage will be tested. The devil wants to break up your home. If the devil can break up your home, he can break up your Christian life. And so he's going to try to get in there. So listen, don't defraud your mate. Keep your mate happy. Praise God. Y'all smile a little bit. The Bible says to watch out, because we all at times, listen carefully, we all at times lack self-control. The Bible says if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, and consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You better realize that your old flesh is weak. You're not going to hear that in these modern churches where they're playing rap music this morning. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we as Christians, those of us who have learned to be faithful and learned to be true, have learned that, buddy, we got a flesh we got to deal with. And so realize it. So realize that the flesh is going to scream to be fulfilled. Sometimes our appetites overcome our wisdom. Sometimes our appetites overcome our knowledge. We know that sin's detrimental. We know that sin's destructive, and yet those fleshly appetites come out and destroy our lives. I've said this before, but I want to say this again. When Jesus prayed, "Lead us not into temptation," what He's praying, "Lord, preserve us in this time of trial," or "don't allow me to be led into extreme situations." See, water has a certain property, but you apply to it extreme heat and it makes steam. It changes its characteristics, changes its properties. Water is liquid, but when you expose it to extreme cold, it's going to become solid and frozen and change its characteristics. And so Jesus is instructing us, listen church, Jesus is instructing us to pray, "Lord, don't leave me, don't allow me to be led into this trial with all these extremities." You ever face extremities? Somebody hates you. Somebody does something, somebody lies on you. You get in a point, you get in a situation that just makes you look awful and you have nothing to do with it. And you want to scream from the housetop, "Hey, I'm innocent here." But you don't have that opportunity. You see that extremity. We all get in extremities of circumstance, but we're to pray, "Lord, don't allow me to be led there." You see, Lisa and I built our house and I insulated it real well. And this past week, it got -8 degrees. And we had water in the kitchen, but we didn't have it in the bathroom. And I said, "There's no way that that water could be frozen." I built the house. I insulated it. "There's no way. We got a fire in the wood stove downstairs." She said, "I don't care what you say. We ain't got water in the bathroom." "The commode won't flush. Try it for yourself." And guess what happened? I left a little bitty hole 20 years ago. I left a little bitty hole where the electric line goes into the breaker box. A little bitty hole. And cold air blew in right on the cold water line, and guess what I got? Frozen. "Lord, lead me not into frozen water pipes." Amen. That's what Jesus is telling us to pray. "Lord, keep me from the extremities." And I want to remind us of something. Sometimes we make a little mistake 20 years ago, and it's some way or another, it finds us out. Right? "Lead me not into temptation." The person, let me say this. Why do we undergo trials? God tests us to see what we're made of. He sure does. He tries us to see what we're made of. And the person who can remain stable under the trial is the person whom God trusts and whom God will use. Let me say that again. The person who can remain stable in the time of trial and in the time of testing is the person whom God will use. And so often we're put to the test, we fail, and God takes us off the first string and puts us back on the bench on the second string. And we sit there for a while wanting in the game, wanting the ball again, wanting to shoot, wanting to play, wanting to throw the pass. And we got to wait until God's ready for us to get in the game again. And so God's going to test us, just as the coach tests us. Now let's move on. I've often said this before, but I think it's worthy of saying again. My actions are generally right, but my reactions are oftentimes wrong. You leave me alone, let me alone on the farm. If the world leaves me alone, and a job leaves me alone, and everybody else leaves me alone, I'll go home and fence and raise cattle and goats, and I'll be just happy. And you know what? I probably wouldn't do anything wrong. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm that too, but I'd probably just live a pretty happy life. But guess what? I can't live there. I've got to work. I've got to pastor. I got to be a father. My children are going to face all kinds of things in school. I'm going to face a lot of problems across the board of life. And so when I say my actions are generally right, they are. But my reactions to the things that are wrong in this world, my reactions are wrong. And God sometimes tests me and puts me in, listen carefully. God sometimes tests us and puts us in an unrighteous situation where somebody else is doing wrong. Somebody else at work is doing wrong. Something's wrong in the home. Something's wrong at school. And God puts us in an unrighteous situation to see and to test us if we'll continue to do right. No wonder Jesus said, pray the prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Preserve me in that time of testing. We ought to pray that prayer. And Psalm 11:4, David said the Lord is in His holy temple. Listen carefully now. He said the Lord is on His throne and His eyelids try the children of men. Now how in the world can the Lord's eyelids try us? Well, let me give you this example. You have children, and they ask for a .22 rifle for Christmas, and you buy them a BB gun. You know what you do? You try them. Watch your eyes. Okay, son, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy you a BB gun for Christmas, and if you handle it responsibly, and we'll move on a little bigger. You see how the eyelids are trying. Oh, they're 15 years old and they've got the learner's permit. Okay, son. Get in the car, drive me to Abingdon. You see how the eyelids try your children. Listen carefully. God, the Bible says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. No wonder David prayed, Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness. Don't lead me into temptation. Don't lead me into the trial, but lead me in paths of righteousness. The Bible says, turn with me please to Matthew. I want you to see this before we stop. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Matthew 4 and verse 1. The Bible says God tempted Abraham, but God didn't tempt him with sin. God tested him. Now look at what Jesus went through. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who? To be tempted of who? The Spirit? No. He was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. The Bible says when a man is tempted, don't let him blame God, because God doesn't tempt man, neither is he tempted of man. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. But the Spirit of God will allow you to be led into a test. If God will allow His own Son to be put to the test, He will allow you to be put to the test. It was allowed in his life. Can I say this? Don't miss this. Don't miss this statement. The devil wants to test you so that you fail. By the way, the devil will cause you to fail, and the very rascal that caused you to fail will then come back with an accusation and say, well, you stinking rotten failure. God allows you and I to be tested so that we succeed. You see the difference? And so He wants us to succeed. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become stronger. And so He allows the testing of our lives. By the way, we used to be sinners running into sin, and now we're saved running from sin. Flee the devil, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now let's close the message. If Jesus Christ Himself was tempted, listen to the Bible in Hebrews 2. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him, who? Christ, to be made like unto His brethren. That is, you and I have a great high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ who was made just like you, suffered the same things as you, put through the same trials as you, suffered the temptation just the same as you. He was made like you that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted or tried, He is able to succour them that are tempted. That word succour means to aid. The Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to aid you. He has the understanding to aid you. He has the knowledge to aid you in times of trials, testings, and temptations. He knows what it's like, and He will come to your aid. I have a 1611 King James Bible that says, Jesus will come to my aid in those times. What a blessing to have Him on the inside. Listen to what James said. Blessed, happy. Want to be happy? I do. I want to be happy in 2014. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And it includes the other word we're talking about. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. We often talk about winning crowns and one day casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus. You know how to win a crown? Endure the trial. Endure the test. Endure the temptation. Win a crown. You see, preacher, and a lot of times things like that aren't practical don't help me. I'm like, okay, I endured this trial, but I don't have a physical crown that I can hold in my hand. But spiritually I do. And one day, the servant of God will be rewarded. One day, the servant of God will be rewarded for his enduring the test and enduring the trial. But that don't help me now, does it? Helps me a little bit to know that I won a victory and know one day, and boy, I'll be glad one day I'll have that crown. But listen. Blessed, that is, happy. So what do I get now? I get a crown later, but I get happiness now. And sure, it's hard when I'm undergoing the trial, but happiness comes. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. When the Bible says Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness for 40 days, He didn't just sit around on the rocks and watch the snakes go by. He was tempted. He was tested. He was tried. And listen carefully. Oftentimes the Spirit of God will allow us to be led into the wilderness where we will be tempted with anger. We will be tempted with wrath. We will be tried under circumstances that just seem to pressurize us. But let us always resist with the Word of the living God. Not only blessed is the man who endureth temptation, he's happy. I want to remind you something as we close. And I've said this before, but it's so worthy to be mentioned again right now. When Jesus was tested or tempted in the wilderness, after that time of temptation that he endured, when the devil finally left him, when he finally came through victorious because he held on to the Word of God, he quoted the Word of God, he battled the devil with the Word of God, the Bible says when the devil left him that angels came and ministered to him. Wow. I believe one of the reasons we never experience the ministration of the Holy Spirit and the ministering of angels is because we don't really endure. We never really win that victory. We never find that happiness because we quit on God. Jesus was not a quitter. We never experience that great spiritual blessedness and happiness. We never experience the great spiritual blessedness because we don't.